Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
This is the story of the one. As a custodial supervisor at a high school, he knows that during cold and flu season, germs spread fast. It's why he partners with Grainger to stay fully stocked on the products and supplies he needs, from tissues to disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Also that he can help students, staff, and teachers stay healthy and focused. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
This is the story of the one. As a custodial supervisor at a high school, he knows that during cold and flu season, germs spread fast. It's why he partners with Grainger to stay fully stocked on the products and supplies he needs, from tissues to disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Also that he can help students, staff, and teachers stay healthy and focused. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is continuing coverage in the trial of Donna Adelson from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today. Now, back to the courtroom.
Good morning. If you can just take your seat for right now, I will swear you in when the jurors are in the room. I believe even though the jurors indicated they did not have to go to the bathroom at this point, if we are once again dealing with the needs of 14 people, they might be in the bathroom, so wait for the knock. We have a few jurors that do need to use the restroom. If anyone needs to stretch their legs or use the bathroom themselves, please take your opportunity now. Once we start with the testimony again, the door will remain closed if you exit. Go ahead. Oh, before you leave the room, Ms. Fulford, once again, Mrs. Adelson, I'm going to reiterate the instruction that I gave to you last Friday concerning any reactions that you may have to either the testimony or the evidence in the case. I understand this may be a distressing thing for your child to be offering testimony in your trial. However, you are to control your expressions and your emotions. Do you understand those? Everyone can take their break. If you need to step down until it's time to testify, you may do so as well.
Session.
You can be seated. Are they good? Yep, bring them up. Oh, sorry to pop you down. They're coming back in.
Okay.
You can be seated. Please raise your right hand to be sworn. Do you swear or affirm the testimony you will give today in this trial will be the truth? You may be seated. Please adjust the microphone as you need to so you can be clearly heard. Ms. Kappelman, you may examine.
Please state your name and spell your name.
Wendy Adelson, WendiAdelson.
Ms. Adelson, where are you from?
I'm from Coral Springs, Florida.
And you live in another state now, currently, right?
I do, yes, ma'am.
All right. How are you employed?
I'm an immigration attorney.
How long have you been an attorney?
Since 2006.
And you're here pursuant to a state subpoena, is that correct?
Yes.
And that subpoena confers a type of immunity on you. Do you understand that?
I do.
Okay. Which means that nothing you say here in court pursuant to that subpoena can be used against you at a later time. Do you understand that?
I do.
Okay. But it doesn't necessarily mean you could never be prosecuted. It just means that what you say in court could not be used in any future prosecution. Do you understand that?
Yes.
I want to ask you about your ex-husband, Daniel Markell. Is that a fair and accurate photo of Mr. Markell?
Yes.
When did you meet him?
We met originally online. It must have been the fall of my first year of law school, so 2003.
Okay. And when did you marry Mr. Markell?
We married in February of 2006.
Were you living in Tallahassee at some point as a married couple?
Yes.
When did you move to Tallahassee?
We moved to Tallahassee my final year of law school, so that would have been in the summer of 2005. And we were here from 2005 till 2006. We spent a year at the University of Miami from 2006 to 2007, and then came back to Tallahassee from 2007 until 2014.
All right. And during the time that you were living here in Tallahassee, did you live over on Trescott Drive?
For some of the time that we lived here, yes.
And when your first child was born, were you residing at the Trescott Drive residence at that point?
Yes.
Okay. I think I have a photo of that here. Is that the Trescott Drive residence?
Yes.
And how many children did you have with Mr. Markell?
We have two children.
What were their ages at the time of their father's death?
It was 10 days before my older son's fifth birthday, so he was 4 turning 5, and our younger son was 3 and a half. The boys are 14 months apart.
Okay. And did there come a time when you and Mr. Markell separated?
Yes.
When was the separation?
It was in the fall of 2012.
Whose decision was it to separate?
It was mine.
How did your ex take that news?
Well, we talked about it many times before it actually happened, but when the separation became official, he was very upset.
And even though there were problems and issues and discussions, it was a surprise to him when it actually happened, right?
It was.
Okay. And was part of the reason for the separation your differing views on how to raise the kids pursuant to the Jewish faith?
I'd say it was a very small part, but it was a part.
Did you consider your ex to be a religious zealot?
No, I didn't think he was a religious zealot, but I did think he was using religion as a way of controlling me.
Okay. Did you think he was more devout in his faith than you were?
I don't know that. I feel like devoutness has to do with maybe a relationship with God, and I don't know that his was more strong than mine, but he was more observant of kosher rules than I was.
Okay, and can you explain for the jury what those imply for those
Sure.
of us that don't?
So keeping kosher has to do with separating milk from meat, something like you can't eat a cheeseburger, and it has to do with the ritual way that animals are killed. So certain meats would be considered kosher or non-kosher. And then things like shellfish are not allowed, or pork would not be allowed. And so his beliefs changed over time. We used to have bacon, and then bacon became a no later on.
All right. And that was, those rules were something that he was wanting to impose on the children, correct?
Yes.
Okay. And you were less interested in those kosher rules?
It was less important to me.
All right. Were both you and Mr. Markell raised within the Jewish faith?
We were, yes.
When you separated from Mr. Markell, did you move out of the marital home while he was on a business trip?
I did, yes.
Where did you go when you left the marital home?
I went to another property that I had rented for the boys and me.
Was that at 3303 Aqua Ridge Way?
Yes.
Was that located in Leon County?
Yes.
Okay. What was the custody arrangement, broad terms are fine, for this time frame during the separation?
I think we were just trying to figure out how to make it work. We didn't have any formal custody arrangement at that time. I remember his parents came to town that weekend, and I made sure that he had the boys that weekend. We were just trying to figure out how to make it work until we had something formal.
Was the arrangement roughly 50-50 or something else?
It would have been roughly 50-50.
Okay. And were you mixing it up during the week, or was it a week on, week off situation?
It wasn't week on, week off. We didn't settle into that until the first summer, or maybe the second summer. I don't remember. That was more of a summer arrangement. But it was 50-50 and definitely a mix during the week.
Okay. I'm going to publish what's been introduced into evidence as State's Exhibit 60, your petition. Was your mom, Donna Adelson, involved at all in drafting your divorce documents?
No.
Did she ever make any edits to any of the filings that you made pursuant to your divorce?
I think she made suggestions, but I had an attorney, a very good attorney, helping me through the process, so she wasn't editing legal documents.
Did you ever forward any of your mom's suggestions to your lawyer?
I probably did.
And when you did that, would you attribute them to your mom, or would you just forward them along without noting whether they were your questions or your mom's questions?
I honestly don't remember.
Was this a contentious divorce?
It was.
As part of your divorce, did you file a petition to ask the court for permission to relocate to South Florida?
I did.
And I think that was your amended petition. Not sure if we can see that very well. Here we go. It says the wife also desires to relocate to South Florida in order to provide a better quality of life for the children by increasing their access to close family and providing more stability and consistency. Who was the close family that was available in South Florida for the boys?
My mom, my dad, and my brother.
Why did you want to move to South Florida?
I had very unstable employment in Tallahassee. I had a wonderful job, but it was on grant money, so year to year I never knew if I would still have my job. I had a job offer that was very good in South Florida. And the assumption was that Danny was always going to be at a different school, a better school. He used to joke that he would take one bar exam for every two bar exams that I had to take while we moved around the country. And so it seemed like a way of having stability while he was climbing up the law professor ladder to be ultimately at Harvard or Yale.
And was relocation important to you?
It was, in terms of having a safe and stable place for my kids.
Did you consider having to live here in Tallahassee being stuck? Or had you referred to it previously as being stuck in Tallahassee?
I mean, I may have. The idea of being stuck is if you don't have permission to live anywhere you want to live. But I had a nice quality of life here.
Did you consider the worst case scenario to be that you would end up stuck here in Tallahassee if your petition was denied?
I don't know. I mean, at the time, I may have felt that way.
Okay. Might you have sent an email to a friend on March 24th of 2013 indicating, quote, I do fear that the worst case scenario that could happen is that I will be stuck here in Tallahassee?
It's possible that I sent that.
Would it refresh your recollection to review that item?
I'm happy to.
It's on tab 6 on one of those binders in front of you. Let me see which one it is.
It's going to be this one. I see it's highlighted, so yes.
Okay, and did you also email a friend around the same time frame regarding life in Tallahassee couldn't compare to the life that you would be able to enjoy in South Florida with your brother, Charlie, and his boat and pool and hot tub and things like that?
It's certainly possible.
All right, that's on tab 7. Please refresh your recollection.
Yes.
And in fact, didn't you use the word stuck in your actual motion for relocation? Let's see if we can get there. Here, the wife is merely stuck in Tallahassee until the husband decides that the time is right for him to leave.
So my attorney did write that, and that sounds right.
Did Tallahassee feel claustrophobic to you?
Well, at this point in time, Danny was making lots of unplanned announcements to my office where we worked together. So I would see him at work. I never knew when he was showing up. So I'm sure, you know, this is 12 years ago that's how I felt at that time.
Okay. But outside of the context of your relationship with Dan Markell, did you ever express that just the smallness and slowness of Tallahassee made you feel claustrophobic?
I don't remember saying that.
Please refer to tab 8 to refresh your recollection.
Your Honor, if I may at this time, the state tells us you're just saying the tab number, so we're not sure what documents you're referring to.
Yes, I can.
Binder is up on the witness stand. Ms. Kappelman, does the defense have a copy of the same binder?
No, Your Honor. I'll show them the tab.
Please do.
That's a dense one. Were you able to find it?
I did. I found it's part of a sentence. Can I read the whole sentence?
Sure.
Tallahassee feels claustrophobic at times, given its smallness and slowness, and the fact that my friends cycle through here with transient regularity. So, yes, at that moment in time, that's how I was feeling in 2013.
And relocation was pending at the time that you were feeling that way in that moment, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, and relocation was also very important to your mother, wasn't it?
Yes.
All right, and did you have some discussions with your mother about relocation?
I did.
And was that during that time frame when it was pending?
Yes.
Okay. And do you see your mother in the courtroom here today?
Yes.
Could you please point her out and describe what she's wearing?
My mom is on, right, I can't see her clothes from here, but she's directly across from me.
All right. Is she wearing a headset on her head?
Yes, ma'am.
All right. Let the record reflect the witness has identified the defendant.
The record reflect.
Your mom didn't want you to be stuck in Tallahassee either, did she?
She did not.
She wanted the best for you, right?
She saw the best for me as not being in Tallahassee, yes.
That's right. She referred to being in Tallahassee, that you were a hostage and a prisoner, right?
Yes, she did.
Oh, Oh no. Clicker gate continues. Prisoner. Close enough. Did your mom express concerns that as a Tallahassee native, the judge presiding over your relocation motion would underestimate how much better it would be for you to live in South Florida?
She did.
All right, let me ask you a few questions about your parents. Your mom is Donna Adelson. Who's your dad?
My dad is Harvey Adelson.
Right. And where did your parents, I think you said they were in Coral Springs back in 2012?
Yes,
ma'am.
Is
that right? Okay. How long had they lived in the Coral Springs area?
I was born there. So from, I think they started living there when my oldest brother was born. So since the early 70s.
So fair to say they had deep roots there in that area.
Yes.
Can you describe the relationship that your mom had with your kids during the time frame we're talking about? So separation to murder time frame?
It was very close. My mom taught my boys how to read. She taught them how to play chess. It was very close.
Were your parents employed during that time frame?
Yes.
What kind of work did they do?
My dad was a dentist, and my mom was the office manager for the dental practice.
All right. And what about your brother, Charlie? Did he have a role there as well?
He was a periodontist, and so I believe at some point he purchased the practice. I don't remember what year that was, but he would sometimes work from my dad's office and sometimes work from other offices around South Florida.
Was the dental practice, the family dental practice, a successful business?
I believe it was. My family never discussed money or finances with me, but I believe it was doing well.
Did you discuss your marital problems and resulting legal issues with your mom?
I did.
About relocation, but in general, you did talk about your woes with your mom?
I did.
Okay. And I think you said you did send many of your divorce pleadings to her. Is that right?
I did.
What about your dad? What was his role in reference to your divorce pleadings?
I don't remember exactly. My parents have a shared email, so mm-hmm. when I send an email to one of them, I would send it. It was being sent to both, but I don't know who was reading what or at what time.
Is it fair to say they were both welcome to read whatever you sent to that email address?
Yes.
And both welcome to reply as well?
Yes.
Who would reply more frequently, your mom or your dad, to those
My
types?
Mom would reply more frequently.
Okay. Who took more of an interest in the day-to-day ins and outs of your litigation?
Probably my mom.
Okay. Is your mom overprotective of you?
Yes.
Is your mom an emotional person?
Yes.
What about your dad? Is he emotional as well?
I think so.
Okay. Did you previously say he was more of a straight shooter and mom was more emotional?
I think so, but I think women tend to be more emotional and men tend to be less emotional.
Okay.
Before you continue, Ms. Catlin,
I am going to admit State 60 JJ at this time. Is there any objection the defense wishes to raise?
Yes, Your Honor. Same objection.
The court admits it over objection for the record. You may continue.
And I think that's the same exhibit that's in State 64AA, Judge. It's not necessary to have duplicates, but because of the way the evidence came out in this trial, that is present in State 64 as well.
States 64AA is admitted as far as the final record. If you wish to remove one, you may, but both are admitted for the record.
Thank you, Judge. All right. Is it fair to say that your mom, the defendant, is a controlling person?
I don't think my mom is a controlling person.
Did you say at one time back in 2013 that your mom operates with emotional subterfuge?
I may have said that.
Would you like to refresh your memory?
I can.
It's tab 45 in the binder in front of you.
I'm not seeing it. Is it highlighted or is it just in the, it's a long, oh. No.
Copy away. It's in the first paragraph on page 3.
Staff 11, you can just walk up and show the witness the portion of what you wish for her to read to herself.
I will, Judge.
Page 3.
This is 3, I think.
I think, yeah, someone in there.
Get that a copy.
I'm sorry.
Write it in this copy.
Okay. Okay.
So the question was, did you pretty much say your mom operates an emotional subject?
Yes.
What is meant by that?
I honestly don't know what I meant at the time.
But not that she's controlling.
I don't think that's what I meant.
Did Dan Markell have a hard time understanding some of your mom's behaviors?
I don't remember that.
Well, did she think you incapable of driving to South Florida by yourself with the kids? This is back when they were little.
Yeah, I don't think she thought I was incapable, but I was breastfeeding and it was helpful to have someone with me.
So what was her practice to avoid you having to do that?
One of my parents would come with me for the long drive.
So they would rent a car, come up here, ride back with you, and then follow the same procedure to get you home?
They would drive with me if I was down there, back up, and then rent a car to come home.
And did that procedure occur the week before the murder? There was a visit the week before the murder, correct?
I think it was 2 weeks before.
Okay. And on that trip, is that how it was handled, where they rented a car and came up to get you?
Yes.
Okay. Did your dad think that was necessary, or was that a mom thing?
No, my dad probably thought it was more necessary.
Okay, and did your dad make a practice of supporting whatever your mom wanted? Is that kind of the general rule?
Yeah.
Was she the dominant force in the household?
I mean, I think my dad had more of a quiet strength, so it's hard to say who was a dominant force. I think they were both equally strong in their parenting.
Okay, did you previously describe this back in 2013 that your mom was the dominant force in the household? If you need to refresh, it's tab 97.
Okay. So this one goes up to 93. Is it?
Check the very back. Got a few extras tucked in here. I'll just approach this one.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Yes.
You did say mom was the dominant force in the household.
Yes.
Did your mom ever try to micromanage your life?
Yes.
Your career?
I don't know about my career. I chose to be a lawyer. It wasn't a very popular choice in my household.
Yes, and there were different types of areas of law that she would have preferred you practice. Do you agree with that?
I actually think they were really proud of what I was doing.
Not to suggest she wasn't proud of you, but she was encouraging you to pursue a different type of law that would be more lucrative. Do you remember that?
I do, yeah.
And what about your dating life? Did she meddle there?
Yes.
Did she create a dating profile for you on Match.com?
I don't know if it was Match.com, but I do remember a dating profile at some point.
That she created for you.
I didn't use it, but yes.
And conducted searches for men in the Miami area and sent them to you.
Remember I think this was when I was living in D.C., maybe.
Okay, let's go forward a little bit here. Sorry, we'll get there. Okay, so here we have an email dated January 17th, 2013. For the record, this is 64I. And it reads, "So honey, so you think I'm nuts, but when you get a moment, check out some of these whom I've pre-screened for you." And these are guys in Miami, right? After all, you're going to be in Miami here and there. Why not see who's out there, right?
Yes.
Okay. And here's some options that she sent you. Here's an interesting guy, etc. Okay. Did you ever feel like your mom was walking all over you?
I don't remember feeling that way.
Okay, what about specifically regarding this divorce?
I don't. I mean, I had a really good attorney and I was making the decisions I wanted to make.
Okay. And did you, back in April of 2013, tell a friend that you were trying to find a way to coexist with your mom that didn't feel like she was trampling your autonomy?
I'm sure I said that in 2013.
How did your mom feel about Dan Markell in this time frame, 2012 to 2016?
And I think a lot changed between 2012 and 2016. So I think her feelings about him changed over time.
Okay, and what about in 2016? Did she hate Dan Markell?
No, not in 2016.
What about 2014? Did she hate him then?
No.
Did you say in, do you remember giving a law enforcement interview in reference to this case?
Yes, I remember.
That was the same day that Mr. Markell was shot, correct?
Yes.
Okay, and did you say in that interview for court and counsel, I'm referring to page 288, lines 24 through 289, line 1, quote, "My parents have more reason to dislike Danny than almost anyone else."
At that point, I was sitting with law enforcement for 6 hours and had just been told that Danny had been shot. So I was in shock and I was trying to help the police think of anything I could possibly think of that would be helpful.
And are you suggesting that after 6 hours you became fatigued to the point that you started saying things that weren't true?
No, I didn't say anything that wasn't true. I just was in shock. I just kept talking and talking and talking.
When your mom is really upset about something, does she talk about it a lot?
Yes.
And when she talks about it a lot, and I'm referring you back to this time frame, does she talk to your brother Charlie specifically a lot?
My mom and Charlie have always talked a lot.
Okay. And was Charlie kind of like your mom's problem solver?
I don't know about that. I kind of feel like it was where she would help him more throughout childhood and adulthood. She would help him solve problems, not really.
She definitely did a lot for him, didn't she?
She did.
She helped him with his business. She helped him with his personal life, his finances, his bills, remember to pay the whatever. She was like still mothering him into adulthood, right?
Yes.
Okay. But as far as meddling in your life, did your mom feel that Charlie could make more progress with you than she could on items like who you were going to date?
I honestly, I would just be guessing about that.
Okay. At the time of Dan Markell's murder, was the defendant, your mother, very angry at Dan Markell?
Before he died?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes.
And you hated him too, right?
At certain points, I was very frustrated with him.
Did you refer to him as an STD?
I don't remember saying that.
Tab 5.
It looks like I made that analogy.
Danny is an STD. One wrong mistake, marrying him, and this will never go away. Is that what you said?
I did.
And did you share that kind of sentiment with your mother?
I don't remember ever saying that, so I don't think it's something I said very often.
And this was said in an email on February 26th of 2013, correct?
It was.
Approximately 17 months before the murder?
Yes, I don't think it was an email, though. It looks like it was sort of an iMessage.
Okay. Did you ever refer to your ex-husband as the Dark Lord?
I don't remember saying that, but I certainly might have.
Did you refer to your ex-husband as Gibbers?
I did.
What is the meaning of Gibbers?
Gibbers was just a silly name that a friend helped me come up with to basically make him feel less scary. It was nonsense.
Did it reference Jew in boots?
That I don't remember.
It wasn't a friendly name, right?
It was a silly name.
Did you ever say that you hated Dan Markell?
I don't remember saying it, but I certainly could have.
Tab 31, please, to refresh your memory.
I said that I hate him in this moment.
Okay, and did you say in that email, that same email, quote, I hate that I hate my children's dad?
I did.
And do you agree that email was sent approximately 15 months before Mr. Markell was murdered?
It was in April of 2013.
Yes, ma'am. No approach with what I've marked as 56A, B, C, and 57. I asked you about the Gibbers nickname. Did you have that nickname stored in your cell phone as Dan Markell's contact name?
They did.
I'm going to approach and show you these exhibits and ask if they're fair and accurate. Contacts, 56A. Who is that a contact for, if you know?
It's my mom's phone number, so that would have been, it's a picture of Ben as a little guy and my mom.
Okay, so fair and accurate contact.
Yes.
From your phone for mom at that time.
Yes.
Okay, and then 56B.
That's my dad.
And that's his phone number.
It is.
Okay, 56C.
That's my brother.
Charlie.
Yes.
Okay, fair and accurate phone number for him at that time.
Yes.
And then 57, is that the contact you had in there for your ex-husband, Dan Markell?
Yes.
Judge, at this time I'd ask to move the evidence 56 and 57.
Any objection?
Objection.
States 56 and 57 are admitted at this time.
Did you ever refer to your ex-husband, Dan Markell, as an emotional terrorist?
I very well could have. I don't remember saying that, but I...
That one's on tab 34. I I'm so sorry. Is that? Yes, I believe it is 34.
It is. I see it. I said it in December of 2013.
Approximately 7 months before his murder?
Yes, approximately 7 months.
And tab 35, in June of 2014, did you say of your ex-husband, I hate him so?
I don't see it.
Are you on tab 35?
No, I was on tab 34. It's tab 35.
Sorry, yes.
I did write that.
And that was approximately 3 weeks before Mr. Markell was murdered, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Lost my clicker.
Clickers are a real problem for me. All right, next I want to ask you about Mr. Markell's response to your petition to relocate. Is it fair to say he was adamantly opposed to that motion?
Yes.
All right, and you all thought over things large, of course, but also very small. Like in this pleading, a tennis racket is mentioned, right?
Yes.
And, oh, jumped ahead on us. Okay, let's go back. In Mr. Markell's response, and for court and counsel, this is page 82 of Exhibit 60, he indicates, the husband affirmatively alleges that the wife helped herself to non-marital assets, including money and stocks owned prior to marriage, as well as numerous personal non-marital belongings of the husband, such as luggage, bicycle, tennis racket, and family heirlooms. Did you take those things when you vacated the property?
I did remember taking his tennis racket by accident, and I returned that, but otherwise I didn't take his belongings.
Did you strategize to leave him in a way that would cause or inflict maximum damage upon him?
No.
Is that something your mom ever said?
I don't remember that.
Did you discuss with your mom how and when you would leave your marriage?
I did.
Do you recall a 11, so November 2nd, 2012 email where Dan Markell was saying to you, you know, let's put all this aside. This is all about the kids. Let's act toward each other in a way that they can be proud of. Did he say that to you?
I remember reading an email like that.
All right, and we talked about the Aqua Ridge apartment, or I guess it was a home residence. Is this a fair and accurate photo? I've blurred your kids' faces, but of the living space there?
Thank you for doing that. Yes, that's our home.
Okay. And did your mom help you secure this place to live? Did she have any involvement in that?
She did.
Okay, what involvement did she have?
She helped me move in.
Okay, did she help you locate the place to live?
I think so.
Okay. Did she come up and look at places with you as well?
We did.
Okay. Did Dan Markell threaten you in the pleadings with federal kidnapping charges?
He did.
And that was associated with the way he claimed that you left the marriage?
Yes.
Okay. And he says you took the kids and did not tell him where they were for several, I think I've seen, days and weeks. Is that true?
It's true that he said that. It's not true that that's what happened.
What was his position on your motion to relocate?
We did talk about it before I filed it, and he was amenable to figuring it out. But once I filed it, he was against it.
Okay. Did he allege in his response that the sole stated reason that you wanted to relocate was to be closer to your parents?
He did say that in his response.
And is that the response that your mom referred to as his 23-page rant?
Probably.
She had a lot of thoughts about that particular filing, didn't she?
Yes.
Okay. And she laid those out in an email to you. I know you remember that's the whole your non-negotiable is relocation.
Yes.
Do you recall having two long mediations to try to resolve your divorce without a trial?
Yes.
And were those mediations successful?
They were not.
Was Mr. Markell seeking to depose your mother as part of the divorce proceedings?
I don't remember that.
What about your brother, Charlie? Did he care about whether you moved to South Florida or not?
I think so. I mean, I think he would have liked for me to be closer to him and have the kids closer to him.
Would it have been okay with him if you had made a decision to stay in Tallahassee?
I would have imagined so, yes.
And after the relocation motion was denied, you were kind of like, well, maybe I have to stay in Tallahassee. Wasn't there at least a moment of that for you?
I mean, it wasn't maybe. It was, that was the court's decision, and I respect the court's decision, and, you know, I would make the best of it.
What about Charlie? Was he outraged by the court's decision?
I honestly don't remember him being outraged.
But to your mom, it was a big deal.
My mom was really upset.
Yeah. It was described by your mom in several places as like a life and death proposition. Do you agree with that?
I think my mom thought my life in Tallahassee wasn't good.
Is it true that you never would have left Dan Markell without your mom's suggestions?
Objection, lady.
Overruled, she may answer the question based on her own knowledge.
I would have left Danny regardless of anyone else's input. I was very unhappy.
Did you ever write that you would have never left him without your mom's suggestions?
I don't remember saying that.
Please refer to tab 41 and see if it refreshes your memory.
I do say here I wouldn't have done it on my own.
Okay. Do you specifically reference your mom?
I say my parents and brother's suggestions and support.
Okay.
I think because I wasn't happy, but part of me thought maybe I would just stay until the kids grew up.
One moment, I've lost my place a little bit. All right, I think you already testified you did not offer your mom your divorce petition to edit. Is that your testimony?
Sorry.
Did you send your divorce petition to your mother to assist you in editing it?
I don't remember doing it.
Okay, and did your mom also pretend to be you to Mercer University to help you complete your divorce affidavit?
I have no memory of that.
Got a little pop out here of this email from your mom. Obviously, I pretended to be you contacting these financial institutions. Is that something that she would normally do on your behalf? Pose as you?
I had very little understanding or involvement of my financial situation, and so that might have been an account that my dad had created for me or that had like co-signatory authority. So that's possible.
Okay. And here, did you forward a letter that was written on or sent to you on December 19th of 2013 from Dan Markell, where he was kind of wanting you back and making a lot of concessions, I'll stop coming home late, etc. Do you recall that long email? Did you forward that to your mother?
I very well may have.
And do you recall she replied with sort of a paragraph by paragraph breakdown of that, you know, Dan Markell email?
So I see that here. I mean, I certainly didn't remember, but I see that there's a response here.
Okay. I think I've got her responses. Did you respond to her? Very nicely done, Mom. This is great.
It looks like I did, yes.
Okay. And then we go to L. In her responses, I guess they've got a joint email, so how do we know it's Mom and not Dad? Do we?
I don't.
Does Dad send responses? Like, this is all the response. Would Harvey detail like that in a response?
No, but it could be that my dad and Mom were talking and that she was the scribe. Right, that they mm-hmm. were, that it reflects both of their thoughts, and that my mom's the one writing it.
And many of the emails are signed Mom and Dad, or they reference Dad and I feel this way. Was it common for your mom to express for the two of them a certain position?
Yes.
And in this particular email, so this is a little confusing, but she responds paragraph by paragraph, you know, K3, K5, K6, referencing Dan Markell's email to you and refuting each paragraph. And she felt that his position was outrageous, right?
Yes.
And she thought his religious practices were extreme, didn't she?
She did, yes.
She was extremely concerned about the well-being of the children in reference to his religious practices.
Yes.
She wanted a psychological evaluation of Mr. Markell.
Yes.
He didn't need a psychological evaluation, did he?
Honestly, I don't remember.
Was he an extremely intelligent, accomplished law professor?
Yes.
Did your mom ever call Dan Markell any disparaging names around this time frame?
She did.
Okay, including piece of shit?
Yes.
Asshole?
Yes.
A narcissist?
Yes.
A bully?
Yes.
A bastard?
Yes.
Did your mom help you prepare for your meetings with your divorce lawyer?
My mom offered help, but I don't think I needed help preparing for meetings with my divorce lawyer.
Who was your divorce lawyer?
Kristen Adamson.
Your mom, in an email dated January 9th, 2013, indicates that she thinks the job opportunities that you had in South Florida was a major bargaining chip in your divorce. Did you agree with that?
Did I agree with it at the time?
Yes.
I don't remember.
And she did a lot of work sort of making arguments to that point, didn't she?
I believe so.
And did you forward your correspondence with your lawyer to your mother?
I did.
Publishing 64. I'm going to skip to J. She wanted to be kept informed, right?
Yes.
Your mom mentions, let's see if I can find it. This is 64G, your South Florida legal team. She will try to remember to discuss things with your South Florida legal team. Who was that?
I think she was jokingly referring to herself.
Oh, she's the South Florida legal team.
I don't know who else it would have been. I think that's why there's a smiley face. I think it was a joke.
Okay. More questions for your upcoming hearing with your attorney. Did you forward your mom's questions or ask your mom's questions when you met with your attorney?
Probably not all of them, but if there was something that I thought was useful, I probably forwarded it or had a conversation about it.
And here you can see in paragraph 2, your mom referred to Dan Markell as Gibbers as well, right?
It was a silly name, yep.
Let's go to the order denying your petition to relocate. Was your mom aware that the order was filed?
Yes.
Okay. And this is language from the order denied with prejudice, meaning you can't re-raise it, right?
Right. You can't refile.
And your mom wanted to fight the decision, didn't she?
She did.
Did you feel railroaded by her in this email where she's kind of bullying you to keep fighting?
You're specifying.
Please rephrase your question.
Did you feel railroaded by your mother?
No.
Okay, but she wants you to continue to take action.
It was denied. I wasn't taking any more action.
Not any more legal action.
I was not taking any more action of any kind.
Didn't your mom have some other ideas for some other actions that could happen?
She did.
She did want to take it to an appeal. Do you remember that?
Actually, I don't remember, but...
That's on tab 43 of your binder.
Yes, I see.
Okay, but she also wanted to develop this plan of action that could be implemented between the time you learned of the relocation denial and your final hearing in court to maybe strong-arm Mr. Markell into agreeing to the relocation. Do you remember that email?
Yes.
Okay, and she had some ideas for how to do that, right?
Yes.
And she said Gibbers hasn't beaten the Adelson family yet. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. So what was her plan of action? What did she suggest you could do to get Dan Markell to relent and let you take his kids to South Florida?
She suggested that I pretend that the boys had become Christian.
Is that something you would ever consider doing?
No.
She she was going to pay for them to get instruction on the Christian faith, right?
That was what she said.
And she said she looked into it and she could get them baptized in a couple weeks. Do you remember that?
I don't remember, but I'm sure it's here.
Do you remember her imploring you to put on a good act?
I do.
Did your mom... I don't know. Do you have any acting training?
No.
Do you know why your mom would Google how to teach an actress emotion?
I don't. I don't know.
Did she ever share with you or forward you any tips on how to bring emotion or fake emotion?
Not that I remember of any kind.
All right. What about a financial offer? Was that part of it as well?
Yes.
What was the financial offer to be?
I think it was $1 million.
Who was going to pay $1 million?
My mom, my dad, and my brother.
And they were going to pay $1 million. You didn't have to pay any of it?
I don't remember having to pay any of it.
Okay. And they were going to give Dan Markell $1 million for what?
So that I could relocate.
Okay. Did you ever make that offer to Dan Markell?
No.
To your knowledge, did anyone make it to him?
I don't think so.
Would it have worked?
I don't think so.
It's all about getting control from Dan Markell, right?
Yes.
And you told her these ideas were crazy, didn't you?
I did.
I will not be introducing my children to Christianity. I truly believe it will backfire.
Again, Your Honor, the prosecutor's testifying and leaving.
As the counsel testifying, sustained, please make sure you're asking open-ended questions to the witness, Ms. Kaplan.
I'm reading from State's Exhibit 64B, which is in evidence.
Please proceed.
Did you say it would backfire?
Yes, those are my words.
And what did you mean by backfire?
I don't remember, but I can read there below what I was saying.
Did it have to do with this will give him ammunition to pursue things in court?
I might have meant that at the time.
Did your mom respect your decision not to use her suggestions?
I mean, she had to have, right? I'm a grown up. Mm-hmm.
She kept pushing though, didn't she?
She was suggesting other ideas.
Okay. January 27th, 2013, email 64W. Charlie brought up a good point when he said that Americans were dropped behind enemy lines during World War II wearing Nazi uniforms to get what they wanted. They had a job to get done, and they did what they needed to do to accomplish it. You have a job to get done and a very short time frame to accomplish it. If you dressed your kids up in Hitler Youth uniforms and brought them down here, I could care less if it was an act of defiance and would show Gibbers that he's not in control. Did she suggest that to you?
Yes.
She urged you to rethink your decision not to implement her suggestions, didn't she?
Yes.
She wanted you to do an act of defiance that will put a scare into this jackass. Why would she want to scare Mr. Markell?
So that he would let me relocate, I guess.
Thank you. She says here, and I'm still on 64W, I don't know how much of the big picture you're seeing, honey. I don't know if you can realize that not only what you can provide for your boy's life, but for your own life, all depends on this change. This is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. So she did view this as a very serious matter, right?
Yes.
And she's sending all of this after the relocation is denied, right?
Yes.
Everyone has a price. Fight for yourself. Okay. I'm showing you this slide also from Exhibit 64W, which indicates that you were going to go into the $1 million offer as a third. Does that refresh your memory on that deal?
I mean, it refreshes my memory, but it's not something I ever considered or thought about doing.
So you would not have paid up the
no.
third of $1 million?
No.
Moving on to 64X, this is an email in which your mom expresses opinions on several items, including the marital home, the parenting schedule, alimony, child support, health insurance. Did you want her opinion on all these things?
I mean, I don't remember, but I think we always want our parents' opinion on things, even if we don't take it.
I'm sorry, Your Honor, I can't hear it.
Please restate your answer.
Counselor asked me if I wanted my mom's opinion on those things, and it's hard for me to remember at the time if I wanted other opinions, but I said, I guess, you know, people always want their parents' opinions on things.
And your mother's opinion was that she wanted you to aggravate your ex-husband, right?
Yes.
To screw him financially.
Yes.
To get a win.
Yes.
She thought your divorce was something to be won, right?
It seems that way.
When was the divorce final?
It would have been final the summer of 2013.
July 31st of 13, sound right?
Yes, ma'am.
And we saw that that was the date for your trial. Did a trial take place?
Yes.
Okay. With witnesses being called?
No, there weren't any witnesses.
Okay, so it was a settlement?
Yes.
And did you reach the settlement on the day that the trial was supposed to be conducted?
I think maybe the day before.
Okay. I want to ask you some questions about voice authentication. Your cell phone, was it collected by police in this case?
I gave the police my cell phone to search.
Let them download it and return it to you, correct?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. And are you familiar with a wiretap that was conducted in this case?
I've seen a lot of wires.
Where phone calls were intercepted by the police and recorded by the police?
Yes.
And were you asked to listen to a disc of calls to see if you could authenticate the voices on those?
Yes.
Discs? Okay. And were you able to authenticate some of the voices on there?
I was able to authenticate the voices of my family.
All right. So Charlie Adelson, Donna Adelson, Harvey Adelson.
Yes, ma'am.
All right. And did you initial on State's Exhibit 135 by each of those voices that you were able to authenticate?
I did.
Certainly can't read this, but
it's very small.
See if that's...
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That's where you initialed. Okay.
I did.
This time I'd ask to introduce State's Exhibit 135.
Any objection?
Exhibit.
I'm asking if there's an objection by defense. State's 135 is entered.
After the divorce was final, Was there any more litigation between you and Dan Markell?
There was.
All right. And who was the first one to file something after the divorce was final?
I don't remember who was first to file.
Because you both filed some things afterwards, right?
Well, Danny was supposed to pay me for the deal with our settlement was I was supposed to take my name off the title to the house, and he was supposed to pay me half the value of the house. So I went that first week and took my name off the title and then just waited. And when I reached out, when it was time for him to pay what he owed, he said, I'm not going to pay it. And I asked why, and he said, I have my reasons. And so my attorney had to file to enforce the settlement agreement because otherwise he was going to be held in contempt of court.
The court had given him a deadline to make the payment. And he didn't make it.
He didn't make it.
So you filed a motion to enforce
the settlement agreement.
And he filed a counter motion saying, well, I'm not paying because she's in violation for all these different things. Remember that?
I do. And then he accused my attorney of committing fraud.
Right. One of his big complaints was failure to facilitate the communication agreement, where I guess you all had some type of agreement to provide Skype calls with the kids to each other when you didn't have the children. Do you remember him complaining about that?
I do. I remember if I was 1 minute late, he would contact the parenting coordinator and complain that I was in violation.
That was a pretty regular complaint of his in this era of these filings, wasn't it?
Yes.
And when he sent an email, for example, 64N, let's see if we have that. Alleging these sorts of violations and including, quote, accusing you and your mother of making zero efforts to facilitate communication between he and the kids. Did you forward this email to your mother?
I don't remember if I did or not.
And during this time period, did Dan Markell send you quite a few emails pleading with you to play nice? For example, March 7th of 2013, Wendy, I really regret that things have gotten to the place where they are. Do you think we could try to resolve more issues directly with each other to prevent so much of the unnecessary tension and cost? Things like that.
Yes.
Okay. But then you didn't seem to be able to actually play nice with each other, even though it seems like maybe that's both what you wanted, at least at certain points.
I was always trying to play nice.
Well, you were threatening to hold him in contempt of court.
I wasn't threatening to hold him in contempt. That's what my lawyer filed. That's what happens
when
you...
Well, your lawyer represents you, doesn't she, Mrs. Adelson?
She does, but I wasn't threatening him.
Did you cease all Skype communication between Dan Markell and the boys on March 12th of 2013?
I don't remember that, no.
Tab 54, please.
It looks like my attorney advised me to do that.
Did you cease all Skype conversations between Dan Markell and the boys?
Again, I don't remember. It's been a very long time. But if my attorney advised me to do it, then I probably did it.
Okay. And the day that you filed that motion to enforce the marital settlement agreement and hold Dan Markell in contempt. See if I can find that. What was the date of that filing?
It looks like it was October 31st, 2013.
Was that the same date that you backed out of the contract to buy a house here in Tallahassee?
I don't remember if it was the same date, but at that point, I didn't have the money I needed to buy the house because Danny didn't pay what he was supposed to.
Okay, but you don't remember which day you backed out of buying the house?
I don't.
Could it have been the same day that this was filed? Halloween of 13.
It may have been.
Okay, and was it Charlie, your brother, who talked you out of buying the house?
No, I didn't have the money to buy the house.
So you don't remember him discussing that with you?
No.
Okay. And did your mom have a position one way or the other on whether you would buy the house?
I don't remember.
The image that I just had up there, was this image sent to you on October 31st? How did this get onto your cell phone dated October 31st?
It looks like something my brother would have sent me at some point. I don't remember if it was what day it was, but I remember seeing that picture.
Okay, do you have any reason to dispute the metadata associated with it on your phone?
No, ma'am.
Okay, and you recognize your brother in this photo?
I do.
And who's the woman he's pictured with here?
Katie.
Is that Catherine Magbanua?
Yes.
So did your brother at any time send you this picture? Well, not at any time. Did your brother on October 31st send you this picture and basically tell you not to buy the house because you weren't going to be living in Tallahassee much longer?
I don't remember him ever telling me not to buy the house or that I wasn't going to be living in Tallahassee. I really wanted to buy that house.
Do you remember, after all the drama with the Skype, asking your mom, see if I can find it here, to help you work on the Skype thing because it was becoming a real problem between you and Mr. Markell?
I honestly don't remember, but I see this email and I must have sent this.
And then a few months later, in February of 14, Mr. Markell files a motion to enforce marital settlement agreements, and that we've touched on that already. That was alleging that you committed fraud on the court during the original settlement. Remember that?
I do. I remember him saying that my attorney helped perpetrate a fraud.
He did. He suggested that the court should send a strong message to you about your malfeasance by awarding him the entirety of the assets that he alleged were undisclosed. Do you remember that?
I do.
And did your mom view that filing?
I don't remember.
Isn't that the one she responded to? We need a plan of attack. We need to aggravate him the way he's trying to aggravate you.
I remember we just looked at that. I just didn't remember what it was in response to.
Okay. And did you respond to his allegations?
I would.
In court. In a court filing.
We must have responded in a court filing to that.
Okay.
Because if someone accuses you of fraud, at that point my attorney had to recuse herself because she had to become a witness in the case and to say that didn't happen.
Exactly.
And then I had to find a new attorney to represent me.
Okay, and did you do a filing in response to his counter motion to enforce the marital settlement agreement, alleging, and this is page 439 for court and counsel, that a vast majority of the former husband's motion contains allegations that are redundant, immaterial, impertinent, and scandalous. That sort of language, does that sound familiar?
It doesn't actually sound familiar, but I would have responded in a motion, so I'm sure my attorney filed something.
Did your mom move around this time?
I don't think so.
Do you remember your parents signing a lease at a place called the Continuum?
My parents were spending some time there on the weekends, but they didn't move until 2015 when I was clerking for a judge at that time.
All right, so they signed a lease to have sort of a weekend property. Was that in South Beach?
Yes.
Okay, and that does March of 14 sound right for that?
I don't remember when they signed a lease there, but it's possible.
Well, when you ultimately left Tallahassee, which we'll get to. Did you go to live at the Continuum or at Coral Springs or somewhere else?
In Miami, at the Continuum.
Okay. And do you know why they chose to move into the Continuum? I mean, this is about 3-4 months before the murder.
My brother had a girlfriend that lived there, and he really liked the property, and he thought maybe my parents might like to retire there. So he was suggesting that they start trying someplace other than Coral Springs to retire.
And did your mom add you as a resident to the Continuum on May 16th of 2014?
I don't remember that, but the Continuum, the apartment complex, had very high security. Mm-hmm. And so it may have been that if you wanted someone to come and not be considered a guest, they had to be considered a resident.
Okay. Tab 95, please. And the question is, would you have been considered a resident as of May 16th of 2014?
And I don't know. So you want me to see whether on this document I was added as a resident?
Yes, ma'am.
It looks like I was added and my brother were added. And then my other brother was the in case of emergency. And it was in April of 2014.
April of 2014. Okay, so about 3 months before the murder?
Yes.
And that was just so that you could come and go whenever you were visiting?
That was my understanding.
Do you recall a motion being filed by Dan Markell that we've referred to as the grandma motion?
No.
Did Dan Markell in March 26th of 2014 file a motion seeking to preclude your mother from having unsupervised contact with your kids?
I don't remember him filing that motion, but it sounds like if it's a motion you have a name for, then it exists.
And in that motion, do you recall, or does it refresh your memory, that he was saying grandma, you know, that the boys were telling him, grandma says you're stupid, grandma says she hates you, and as a result, he was concerned about your mom alienating the kids or turning the kids against him?
I remember hearing about this motion.
Okay. And that is a motion that was never got to be heard, right?
That was part of the motion to enforce the settlement agreement.
But which was never heard.
Which was never heard.
Because he was killed.
Because, yes.
And do you remember why you didn't forward your mom the actual motion that was filed in reference to that?
I don't.
Okay. If you will check tab... See if you can find tab 98 in the back there, please.
I have tab 98.
Okay. Does it refresh your recollection as to the question, which is, where was your mom on the day that the relocation was filed, which for your reference was 3/26/14?
So this email is from 3/25/14,
mm-hmm.
And it looks like my parents were coming up. It says coming on Thursday, and this was written Tuesday the 25th, so my guess is that they were coming on Thursday the 27th.
And was it their practice to typically stop in Orlando and spend the night on the trip up to Tallahassee?
I don't remember.
Okay. The allegations that are laid out in Dan Markell's motion were sent to you in an email before the motion was ever filed. Do you remember that?
I don't remember that, no.
I'm publishing 64AA, a December 16th, 2013 email. This email indicates that Dan Markell is going to be introducing a major issue, grandparental alienation. This will be part of our ongoing effort to resolve outstanding issues. But basically, at the bottom there, Ben announced to me, Abba. What does Abba mean?
It's Abba. It means father in Hebrew.
Father. Grandma says you're stupid. Okay, and he details a couple, I think it's three different instances in which his boys have told him that Grandma, your mother, has told them that you're trying to take my sunshines away, she hates you, that sort of thing. Does this refresh your memory at all about those allegations?
It does.
Okay. And this email, you did forward this email to your mother. Do you recall that?
I don't recall that, but I it makes sense that I would have.
And your mom responded to it, or someone responded to it, wow. Do you remember that?
I was shown that email yesterday.
Okay. And you forwarded that email not only to your mom, but to a total of 12 different people. Do you remember that?
I remember being very surprised that he was trying to accuse a member of the Florida Bar of fraud and going to all these lengths to avoid paying money that he owed me.
Okay. And is that the reason why you sent it to the 12 people?
It was pretty shocking what he was doing.
Did your mom respond at all to that allegation regarding her alienating the kids?
I don't remember a response other than the one I was shown that said, wow, but I don't know if that was my dad responding or my mom responding.
But the allegation was in reference to your mom, right?
The allegation was in reference to my mom.
Okay. And in fact, the next day, because the parenting coordinator was in on the original thread, you forwarded the email a second time to your mom, didn't you, with the parenting coordinator's response. Do you remember that?
I don't remember that, but it makes sense that I would have forwarded it.
Do you remember just, let's see, a couple months before the death of Dan Markell, saying to a friend of yours, I think her name is Jane, does that sound familiar?
I had a friend named Jane.
Telling Jane, quote, Danny is a monster.
All of these questions leading, Your Honor.
Overrule, the witness may testify based on her memory.
I don't remember telling Jane that I thought Danny was a monster.
Okay, was Jane one of the people you forwarded the email to? Dan's email?
I don't remember.
Okay. But it was the same day that you called him a monster. Do you remember that?
I don't.
I want to talk a little bit about your brother, Charlie. Judge, I don't know if you're wanting a recess, this is a good time. It's getting a little tedious, I'm sure.
Of the jury, before we continue with the examination of this witness, we are going to have our lunch break at this point. I am going to remind you once again not to discuss this case with each other or anyone else. Also, you are prohibited from looking at any information or reports concerning this case as well. For the lunch hour, there is a cafe here in the courthouse and also some other businesses within close walking distance. If you choose to eat together, you may do so. Again, the only prohibitions are what I've previously outlined. Please return at 1:15, and we will continue with the examination of Wendy Adelson by both the state and the defense at that point. Enjoy your lunch break. The gallery is to remain in the room for right now until the jurors have exited.
Yes,
yeah, come on. Thank you. Everyone can be seated. For the attorneys and the witness, we will have the same report time back, 1:15. Do any matters need to be heard before we go into the break?
No, Judge.
Nothing to say.
Very well. Enjoy your break.
More continuing coverage in the trial of Donna Adelson is coming up from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today. Press subscribe now so you don't miss a moment.
Moro Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Moro Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Power up fall projects with Ego at Lowe's. Every tool delivers power beyond belief. So whether it's leaves, limbs, or lawn cleanup, count on Ego to deliver the power, performance, and innovation you need. And now for a limited time, save up to $60 on select blowers, chainsaws, and pole saws. Shop Ego today at Lowe's. Offers valid through 10/1 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Hey, wake up! New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, ugh, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
like a social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, ugh, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, ugh, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.